following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
I hope that you have your copy of God's Word today. I hope that you are ready to read it and look at it. If you're using your phone, I would say for just a moment, put your phone away. There should be a Bible in the back of the pew in front of you. And open it up to Revelation 21. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Not only that, but we can look to the cross. Romans 5:8 says that God demonstrated his love toward us. And while that we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. And another way I know that Jesus loves me, that he's given me the promise of an eternal heavenly home. Brother Tracy, do you really believe all that you say you do about a place called heaven? Absolutely. Jesus spoke about it. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And the day that he died on the cross, he told one of the thieves, he said, truly this day you will be with me in paradise. And there was one day when the disciples came back to Jesus. They were marveled that they could heal people and cast out demons. And Jesus said, don't marvel about these things that you can do here on this earth. He said, but rather rejoice that your names are written in heaven. That's my question for you today is this. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you know for sure that heaven is your heavenly home? That next to the last song that we sang just a moment ago, I always like to look at the history of songs. Talked about God hiding me in the cleft of the rock, his hand covering me. It's one of these days I'll get to see him face to face with clouds bursting. All those songs like that were written by a lady by the name of Fanny J. Crosby. She wrote many, 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 many songs about seeing Jesus and being in heaven. Here's the thing about Fanny J. Crosby. She was totally blind. From her younger years, from a disease she was stricken with, she lost her vision. But yet she wrote many of the beautiful hymns that we sing about this place called heaven. Here's what the Apostle Paul had to say about heaven. Apostle Paul wrote a lot about a place that we could go to for all eternity. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:1, he says, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What is this place called heaven actually like? Close your eyes for just a moment and think of the most beautiful place that you've ever been. Could be a mountain somewhere. Could be an ocean. Could be a beach. Could be a tropical forest somewhere. I don't know what your idea of a beautiful scenic place is, but just imagine that for just a moment. Let me just say this about that place. That place pales in comparison to what heaven's going to be like. Because our human minds, our finite minds, just cannot comprehend what heaven's going to be. We can read about it. We can sing about it. We can try to draw pictures of it. We can see it on Hollywood movies, and they don't do it justice. So I want to explore today the topic of heaven. What is heaven actually going to be like? We're going through this evangelism tool called the three points. Part of God's design for your life is not just for you to have a blessed life here on this earth, not just for your life to be used by him here on this earth, but his design is also for an eternal destination for you to spend with him. That's God's design for your life, but because of sin and all, we talked about that specifically, all of sin and falling short of the glory of God, that has taken us away from the God that loves us and brought us into this state of brokenness in our lives. We try to get out of it on our own. We try to work our way out of it. We might try to kill it with some kind of addiction. We might try to numb the pain that's caused by it, but we try and try and try and find out that this brokenness in our life, we just can't get out of on our own. So what's the solution for that? Well, we need to repent. We need to say, God, I know that I've sinned. I know that my sin is separated from you. I want to be back into your presence. I want to pursue your design and your plan for my life. So the first step of getting back to God's plan is a thing called repentance. We looked at the Greek word metanoia. It's where we get our word metamorphosis from. It's a whole transformation. It's the caterpillar going into the cocoon, turning out into a butterfly, completely different, completely transformed. And the only way that you can experience that transforming power is through the gospel of Jesus Christ. God clothed himself in flesh and blood and came to earth as a little baby and lived a perfect life for 30 years. He died on the cross, and after 3 days he was resurrected. And now he's waiting to meet us in the air during the rapture when we rise to meet him in the air. That's what the gospel is all about. It's all about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins. So what we want to talk about today is how do we get back to God's design for our life? We want to pursue God's plan for our life. And here's the thing. Jesus said, I want you to experience a life that I have planned for you here on this earth. Jesus said the thief, he was talking about Satan, he said the thief comes not but to kill and to steal and to destroy. That's this brokenness that we talked about right here. But Jesus said, that's not the plan that I have for your life. Jesus said, I come so that you might have life everlasting in a place called heaven and life more abundantly. So if you're living in this state of brokenness, if you're not pursuing God's will for your life, if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, you'll never experience that abundant eternal life that he has planned for you. So what we want to do is we want to recover from that brokenness in our lives, and we want to pursue God's plan for our life. And when you explain your faith to someone, these are the steps that you need to take. You could do this on a simple napkin in a restaurant. If you've got a pen or a pencil or just some kind of piece of paper, you could easily do this with someone. You don't necessarily have to have all the scriptural references. There's an app that you can download called Life on Mission. It'll take you through all the steps of the three circles. But when you get into that gospel conversation, please, 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 please tell them that there's a better place waiting for those who will put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Man, if you miss out on telling them that part, you miss out on the best part. And if you live your life without Jesus Christ, if you die without knowing him, you're going to miss out on the best part of God's design for your life. So what is heaven like? I want to bring out a few things that we know for sure. There are several people who have tried to explain it. There are several people who have tried to make movies about it. All them movies you see, man, there's nothing to that. It blows everything away that you can imagine about a place called heaven. But I think the most vivid example that we see written in the Bible is in Revelation 21 and 22. Let's all stand for the reading of God's word. If you have your Bible this morning, say amen. And we'll begin in verse 1. We're going to read through verse 8, and then we'll break down some more of the rest of the chapter. Here's what John says. John is exiled on the island of Patmos. God has given him a vision of what's going to take place during the rapture, during the tribulation, and then we see a new heaven and a new earth taking place and a new Jerusalem coming down. All of this is what we refer to in the theological world as eschatology. It's a study of end times and what's going to take place. But here's what the Bible has to say, and here's what God revealed to the Apostle John on the island of Patmos about heaven. He says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth have passed away. Also, there was no more sea. On an eschatological timeline, all of this has taken place after the tribulation. The world looks nothing like we know it today. It is totally remodeled, reshaped, reformed. And he says right here that the first heaven and first earth had passed away. There was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Many of you have seen the scene before. The Here Comes the Bride is played. Everyone stands and everybody turns. I still remember the day that I turned and I saw my wife, Marcy, coming down the aisle. My eyes are about this big. They have pictures of me standing there at the altar waiting on her. The most beautiful scene that I could imagine. And that's what God says heaven's going to be like. It's going to be like a bride adorned and coming down to her husband. It's going to be a beautiful, beautiful scene. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And he who sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." That's the power of the gospel right there, folks. The Apostle Paul said that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things become new. So if you're living in a state of brokenness right now, what you need to do is you need to put your faith, hope, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and allow him to give you a new abundant life and eternal life as well. Amen. And he said, "It is done." Oh no. And he said to me, "Write, for these things, these words are true and faithful." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son." That's the good news. Here's the bad news. Here are those that are going to be excluded from God's eternal blessings. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now let's see, where do I want to spend all eternity at? Do I want to spend all eternity in this beautiful place called heaven that John is getting a vision of here? Or do I want to spend all eternity in this place with fire and brimstone? I think that's a no-brainer right there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. God, what an awesome description we have here before us in these two chapters about what you have prepared for us, what your plan is for us. And we just pray, Lord God, that you will open our eyes and help us to see things the way that John saw them that day on the island of Patmos. Lord, I ask that you'll speak through your word today. I pray, Lord, that if anyone is here, they need to make a decision to give their life to you. I pray that today would be that day you would give them the courage, the strength, and the boldness to step out and step forward and step into a new life that only you can give them. And we just ask all these things in your most precious and holy name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. What is the first thing that we see about the description of heaven? What is heaven like? Number one, we see this in verse 4. Heaven is a place of joy and peace. No doubt about it. Those that we just read in verse 8, all of the corruption is gone. All sin is absent. There's going to be peaceful times. There's going to be joy. We're going to be singing praises to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have been born again, those whose sins have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will get to experience a joy and a peace like we've never seen before. The name itself, New Jerusalem, the word Jerusalem is the city of peace. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. We see that in the end of the name Jerusalem, Solomon, Salim, however you want to say it. And this speaks volumes about what this place is going to be like. God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Every sad encounter that you've had, every situation that's caused you grief, God himself, look, don't miss this part. It ain't going to be no angel wiping your eyes away. God himself is going to wipe away every tear from your eye. No more sadness, no more grief. You're going to be given a new body, and you're going to be in a place where everyone else is praising and worshiping the name of Jesus. There should be no more death. We're not going to have to worry about getting in a car accident. We're not going to have to worry about losing our life too early. No one is going to die. Eternal life is for all of eternity. You're not going to have to worry about that anymore. No more sorrow. No more crying. Here's the best part. There shall be no more pain. A total absence of sin. The wages of sin is what? Death. You won't experience any of that in heaven. There's not going to be any temptation. Praise the Lord, there's not going to be any more hurricanes to worry about. There's not going to be any more mosquitoes. You're not going to have to worry about cholesterol or high blood pressure, LDL, HDL, triglycerides. You're not going to have to worry about any of that stuff. You're not going to have to worry about that arthritis because it says right here, no more pain. Man, can you just imagine what it's going to be like to get up in the morning, get out of bed and just not have to shake out all the kinks, all the sore muscles, all the sore joints. You just get up and you just start praising the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? That makes me happy. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. You know, I have to get up and exercise. You're going to be given a new body. Man, it's going to be phenomenal. What makes this place so peaceful? Well, we've seen what brings us joy. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more death. That brings everybody joy. But what makes this place so peaceful? There's not going to be any riffraff there. Only God's people, only God's children, only those who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are going to be present. When we consider the occupants of the people in this place called heaven, we know for certain why it is such a peaceful place. Because there's not going to be any more cowardly people. There's not going to be anybody that's unbelieving. No more murderers. No more sorcerers. No liars. None of that corruption is going to be present in this place called heaven. The next thing we see about this place called heaven is connected to that as well. Heaven is a place for prepared people. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Only God's children. Only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Only those who have had their sins washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says right there in verse 8 that the unbelievers, the unbelieving, those who have not put their faith, hope, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not going to be present there because they have a separate destination that they will spend eternity in. Did you notice that? What was in verse 3? It says that God himself will dwell with them. They shall be his people. And while there are certain details about this place called heaven that we do not know, one thing we do know for certain is who will and who will not be there. According to verse 3, only God's people will be there. But verse 8 gives a very, very descriptive and detailed list of those that will not be present. Also note in verse 24, we didn't read this, but if you go all the way down to verse 24, it starts talking about how many people are going to be there. We think about just the people in our church most of the time. Sometimes we think about the people in our state and our country. But let me tell you something. The body of Christ is worldwide. All throughout the world, nations, tribes, tongues, different ethnic groups will be there. There may even be some people that you really don't look too kindly on in this place called heaven. Here in verse 24, look at what it says. "As in the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter into it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie." Look here. Here's how exclusive this place is. Notice the verbs. Notice the wording here. "But only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Friends, is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you know for sure that there has been some point in time where you've repented of your sins and you've asked Jesus Christ to save you? And at that moment, he wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life to never be erased. That's exactly what it's talking about here. That heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Only those who are saved, only those who are children of God will be in this place called heaven. Not only that, but we also see that heaven is a place that is designed by God himself. Look at what it says in verse 10. It says, "And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates. And names were written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west." Here's what Martin Luther had to say about our image or our thought about heaven in this next quote on this slide. He says, "As little children know in their mother's womb about their birth, so little do we know about life everlasting." But God gives us a very, very descriptive writing here about what heaven is going to be like, about what it's going to be made out of. God has designed this place. What about the size of heaven? We know about some of the construction materials. We see it has walls with precious stones, jasper stones, gates of pearl, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, three gates on the east, and three gates on the west. What about how big this place is? Look down in verses 14 through 17. It tells you exactly how big the city of heaven is. "Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. He who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its walls. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs." That's 1,500 miles. Pretty big place. "Its length, its breadth, and its height are equal." 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles high. How far is that? Well, about 1,500 miles from here to Boston, Massachusetts. Just the floor space in the city of heaven is over 2 million square miles. And if heaven were located here in the United States of America, it would cover an area from San Francisco to San Antonio, Texas, from the Canadian border to the Mexico border. That's how big just the floor space of heaven is. And it goes up just as high as it is wide. Friends, here's what I'm trying to tell you. Don't miss out on this. If you're thinking, "I'm not going to go reach any souls because there's not going to be enough room in heaven," you're fooling yourself. There's more than enough room. Our goal right now, our goal with the three circles, our goal with these invitation cards, our goal with all of these resources we're giving you is to take as many people with us to heaven as we possibly can. Because God has made sure that there's plenty enough space, and he's made sure that this place is beautiful enough for everybody to come and enjoy eternal, everlasting life. God has designed this place with you and me in mind. Not only does it have plenty of space, what about the construction materials? Only the best in the construction materials. God spared no expenses whatsoever. Look at verse 18. "The construction of its wall was of jasper. The city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, and the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, and the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst." I'm pretty impressed that I announced all those right, I think. Stuff that we've never even heard of. Stuff that if it was right here before us, we couldn't identify it. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the city, the streets of the city, was pure gold, like transparent glass. No more potholes. Gold bricks for pavement. Gates and walls. The streets are paved with pure gold. Right now, the price of gold is over $2,000 an ounce. Yet God has his streets of this city for us that he's preparing, paved with nothing but pure gold. Isn't that incredible? Here's something else that we notice about the city of heaven. Heaven is a place with border control. Build the wall. Not many people like this subject. It's not a real popular subject right now, highly debated. But I think heaven was the original place that would have border control. Walls around the city, gates to limit the access both in and out, because only those who are supposed to be there are allowed. Nobody goes in unexpected. D.L. Moody had this to say. I don't know if we got the slide ready on this one or not. He says, if you don't enter the kingdom of heaven by God's way, you cannot enter it at all. Friends, let me tell you, Jesus is the door. He is the gate. He is not one of many ways. He is the only way for you to get into heaven. And if you don't go in through the blood of the Lamb, you don't get in any other way. If you've ever been to a event where you had to send in your invitation, you know that at the bottom it probably has something like RSVP. If you know what that is in the French term, it is réservé, s'il vous plaît. In other words, you're only going to get into that place if you send your reservation back. Here's something else we know about heaven. Heaven is a place where RSVP is required. Have you made your reservations? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? Réservé, s'il vous plaît. Here's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 through 23, if you want to write down this verse. It says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Back in verse 27, it says that only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that is your reservation, is knowing that Jesus Christ, with his shed blood, has put your name in his book. He's expecting your arrival because you have trusted in the salvation that only he can provide. One last quote from D.L. Moody. It says this, it says, the society of heaven will be select. No one who studies Scripture can doubt that. Not just anyone is going to be allowed in this place. So here's the invitation for today. This is just barely scratching the surface, man. There are more descriptions in heaven. The Apostle Paul says, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither can enter into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Friend, let me ask you this. If you died today, where would you spend eternity? I know you heard me ask that question over and over and over. But I want you to be certain that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you can't think of a time right now where you've knelt down, repented of your sins, asked Jesus Christ to forgive you and become a follower of his, More than likely, heaven is not your destination for all eternity. How do I know, Brother Tracy? How can I know for sure? 1 John chapter 5, verses 12 through 13 says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you. As a matter of fact, the same guy that God used to write the book of Revelations wrote this scripture that I'm reading to you right here. The Apostle John. He said, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. If you're here today and you say, Brother Tracy, I think I might make it to heaven. You know, there's a possibility. I'm a good person. You know, I've been to church before. My mama and daddy were deacons in the church. My mama was a choir director. My mama was a Sunday school teacher. My grandma, she brought me to... That's not what I'm talking about. God doesn't have any grandchildren. God only has children. And you're not getting into heaven because of someone else's good deeds or good works. You're not getting into heaven because of your own good deeds and good works. Not by works of righteousness which you have done, but it's only because of his mercy that he saved you by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. He who has the Son has life. Can you honestly say today that you have Jesus Christ in your life and in your heart? Can you honestly say today that I know for sure I'm a child of God, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and there is no doubt in my mind that if I died today, I'd be in the presence of Jesus Christ? Can you say that? If you can, in just a moment, when this invitation begins, I beg you, if I could come drag you down this aisle and force you to make a decision, I would, but I can't do that. And you know what? God's not going to do that either. God is not going to force his will upon you. God has a design for your life, but he's not going to force it upon you. The Bible says, whosoever will, come. Come and drink of the water of life freely. Jesus said, I'm the bread of the life. He who eats of me will never be hungry. I'm the living water. He who drinks of me will never thirst again. And that moment when you put your faith, hope, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you say, God, I know I'm a sinner, and I don't want to live like that anymore. I know I'm going in the opposite direction of you, but now, Lord, I want to go in the direction that you have for me. Lord, I want to pursue your will for my life. I want to recover from all of the brokenness that I've experienced because of the sin in my life. And when you make that first step of faith, God says, all right, I got you now. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Ann Graham Lotz had this to say about heaven. She said, make no mistake about it. Heaven is a home populated by the Lord and his loved ones who have made the deliberate choice to be there. My friend, if you've never made that deliberate choice, right now is your opportunity. And if I were you, I wouldn't hesitate. As soon as that music begins, as soon as we stand up, if I were you, I would be the first one down this aisle. Because here's the thing, life is short, life is uncertain, we never know when our last day here on this earth is going to be. We know a family back close to home, their house exploded because of a gas leak. I know several people who have been in accidents right here, on Martin Luther King, Victor II Boulevard. Some have been seriously injured, some have lost their life. At any moment, the doctor could tell you that bad news. You only have 30 days to live. The Bible says that life is but a mere vapor. It disappears that quickly. The Bible also says that you don't know what a day will hold. So don't take any chances. Eternity is something that you don't want to miss out on. Friends, this place with fire and brimstone, that is some place that you do not want to spend eternity at. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. And only those who have put their faith, hope, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ will spend eternity there. Here's the things that you need to know about making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. I know you want Him as Savior. I know you want that get out of hell free card. But you want to make Him Savior and Lord of your life. Making Him Lord of your life means that He's your boss. He's in control. And you're going to do what He tells you to do. And here's how you can do that. It's as simple as ABC. The first thing you need to do is admit that you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. Every person that has been born was born with a sin nature. I've sinned. The Pope has sinned. Everybody here in this building has sinned at some point in time. But the Bible says that there is a solution for that. The Bible says that sin separates us from a God that loves us. The wages of sin is death, eternity in hell. But it says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The next thing you need to do is believe. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in your place. When He hung on that cross, He was taking the death and the punishment that you deserved. You need to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, and whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. And the next thing you need to do is see, confess, and commit. If you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then you need to commit your life to becoming a follower of Jesus Christ from this moment on. It's as simple as saying a prayer like this. God, I know I've sinned, and I don't want to live like that anymore. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He is the Messiah. He is the one who came to take my place. And I believe that His death on the cross and through His shed blood is the only way for me to have remission of sins. And right now, Lord, I want to commit my life to You. I ask You to come in and save me and make me a new person. And I turn my life over to You. It's as simple as that. Heavenly Father, I turn this invitation time over to You. Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know for sure where they'll spend eternity at, I pray that they'll be able to walk out of this building today with the assurance of knowing that heaven is their home. They won't have to spend eternity in hell because of Your shed blood. And that You would give them a new, abundant life. And we just ask it all in Your most precious and holy name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.